The scripture reading this morning is taken from the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon. Read chapter 1 and into chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 will be our text. We have here the conversation between Solomon and his bride, his wife, the Shunammite woman, which is a picture of the conversation between Christ and his church. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. The wife. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black, but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon, look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They'd made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Solomon, if thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. The wife. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses and Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyard of En-Gedi. Solomon, behold, thou art fair, O my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. The wife, behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant also. Our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. Solomon, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. May God bless this scripture reading to our hearts. We meditate in verses 1 and 2, these words of our Savior Jesus Christ, identifying himself as to who he is and what he has made us to be. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys, and the church, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the deep, deep love of Jesus Christ is represented to us this morning at this table and laid out for us through faith that we might partake of that treasure of the everlasting love of Christ for me, of his love for the church, of his particular saving, victorious love. The love which caused him to wear that robe without a seam splattered in his own blood and a crown of thorns, in order that spiritually this morning we might wear the garments of salvation, the spotless white robe of righteousness, and the diadem around our neck of a holiness and righteousness that stands before God. The love of which the apostle said in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 defies all words and passes all comprehension, that great love of Jesus. That's what we wish to know in the gospel, and that's what we wish to be assured of and partake in the bread and in the wine. So that the vilest sins, the sins that you want hidden and I want hidden from the sight of men, and the sins with which we wrestle as to whether they could possibly be forgiven, that make us feel the burden of guilt and the pain of heart, that we might know that those sins are forgiven in the blood and love of Christ. But not only those sins that you have committed, but that you also who have been sexually abused, deeply abused and hurt by the sin of someone else, so that you would feel yourself marred, spoiled, ruined, that you might know also this precious love of Jesus, which makes us beautiful, spotless, treasured in the eyes of God, and lovely to him as a lily among thorns. So is my loved among the daughters. Solomon, as I said, is speaking here. He's speaking of who he is, or Christ rather, through Solomon is speaking of who he is and of what he has done. Let's look at the lily among the thorns. First of all, when Solomon, or Christ, says, as the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters, Christ, the Son of God, is telling us how God sees the church. He sees the church on earth as if it's a lily. Think of an Easter lily. He sees the church as an Easter lily among a patch of bramble weeds, of thorny bushes. He sees it white and spotless before him. He sees his church as a lily. He says it this way in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, that he, Christ, might present it, the church, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish before him. We read it this way in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, that the saints are given white robes, and these white robes in which we appear before God have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. So Christ sees. It's his eyes that are the true eyes. They are God's eyes. Christ sees his church as righteous, forgiven, and holy in his sight. A diadem, a necklace we wear in his blood of complete forgiveness. And we appear as if we had not sinned before him in the blood of Christ. That's sealed at the table. Note with me, first of all, to illustrate this now, that the lily is white. There's debate about what this lily actually is. Some say it's the Egyptian water lily, but it's very plain from the text itself that we don't have the picture here of a pond, but we have the picture of a valley, lily of the valley, verse 1, and lily among thorns. And Sharon, I am the rose of Sharon, is another name for Mount Carmel. So we have the slopes of that beautiful Mount Carmel coming down that verdant mountain. And as there's wild thorns growing on the side of that mountain, there are lilies in the midst of that thorn. These lilies are white, and white in the scripture is the sign of purity, as a wedding dress is intended to show a woman, to show her saving herself and her purity for her husband. So Christ says, I see you as white. I see you as pure. Though your sins are as scarlet, yet in the blood of Christ, we appear as white as the snow before him. In the Lord's Supper, when Christ gives the bread and the wine to us, he says, but this is how I see you. Yes, I have convicted you of your sin throughout the week, and you know your own evil. You begin to understand your own leprosy. But I see you in my atoning blood, and I see you as spotless and forgiven in my blood. Not a purity, says Jesus, that is of yourselves. Solomon's wife has been very self-effacing in the first chapter. She said, I am black. I'm as black as the curtains of Solomon. We say, I am black, Lord. I am black in my sins. Christ says, yes, but I have washed away that guilt, and I see you as a lily among thorns. Do you believe that? Do you believe that when the bread and the wine are in your hand? Are you working? Are you thinking? Not just going through a ritual, but when that bread is in your hand, God speaks through that bread and wine. He has chosen it. And he says, I have made you in his blood forgiven. We don't come this morning saying, Lord, you must obviously be very happy about me because I discovered this past week that I'm well nigh sinless, at least in comparison to other people. I'm a lot whiter, a better shade of white than other people. No. We approach as the prodigal son. We approach as Solomon's wife. Don't look upon me. Don't look. And Jesus says, in my blood, this is the gospel, I have made my church as a lily. Not only pure, but the point is that Christ is saying, therefore my church and the believer brought to him by faith, you and I, are therefore appealing to him. Beautiful. Jesus' words about the lily, remember, Matthew 6, verses 28 and 29. You remember, children said, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not. They don't last very long. Neither do they spin. They don't weave a garment. They don't have a spinning wheel. They don't have needle and thread. Yet, I say unto you that this lily, that Solomon, even in all of his glory, is not arrayed like one of those. Jesus said, Solomon, in all that beauty that was given to him, as they made his robe and they enwrought it with gold, and as they spun and as they pressed his robe with its golden chain and all of his beauty, all of Solomon's beauty can't be compared to one lily, the lily in its beauty. God says, my church is attractive to me. I take pleasure in my church. I take pleasure in you. You say, in me, Lord? In me? Yes. As a lily among the thorns, a lily for her beauty. You say, Lord, don't look too close. That's the thing about a lily, too. that which God creates, when you look at it closely, you don't find the smudges and the imperfections that are made beautiful by men's hands, by mascara or rouge, or whatever other way we have of making ourselves look attractive. Bring out the good pair of glasses and the microscope, and you say, oh, all the imperfections. Christ says, my blood has made you eternally attractive to me and beautiful in my blood. That even though your conscience accuse you, you appear without fault before me. That's what he says in the bread and the wine. And then note with me in this connection that the scriptures are not speaking simply here of that church which has gone before us at the presence of God. But it is obviously speaking of how God views his church in the blood of Jesus Christ, justified and forgiven on earth. This lily is among the thorns. This lily is not planted in that heavenly garden of God right now with all of the other saints of God, but this lily, you and I, are on the earth amid the thorns. The thorns is a reference to this present world in its curse of sin. The thorns here are a reference to the world of unbelief against him, which Jesus said is going to be gathered up in the last day, as you gather up thorns and you burn them. And so Jesus says, here's the contrast between my church and this present world. As a lily among the thorns. Apart from Christ, thorny, sinful. In Christ, as a lily. Apart from Christ, only worthy to be gathered up and burnt. In Christ, attractive and appealing to God. And why? Why? The unique, the particular, the undeserved love of God in Jesus. Now we ask the question this morning, how can this possibly be? How can this be true? Knowing ourselves, seeing our own sins. We ask the question, whose eyes then are right? Is God's eyes and Christ right, or is my conscience right? And the answer is, God sees us this way as he sees Christ, the rose of Sharon. Note how verse 1, you have to take verse 1 with verse 2. I said Solomon is speaking here. Some say it's the bride, but it is not the bride. I am the rose of Sharon. I am. That's Jesus Christ. I am the rose of Sharon. Here's another name for Jesus. Rose of Sharon. And I am, note, the. I am the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns. I am the lily. My church is as I am. I am the rose of Sharon. But note with me also, while we're at it, that he does not say the church is as the rose of Sharon. I'm the rose of Sharon. I am the lily. My church is as the lily. But he does not say that the church is as the rose of Sharon. So how can this be? We begin again with the deep, deep love of Jesus Christ. We owe that entirely to his sovereign, gracious, and unconditional love. It is he who hath loved us, even unto death. But then we see that this love of God is all focused in Christ, that he sees us in the work of Jesus Christ. I mentioned a moment ago Jesus says, I am the lily of the valley. My love is as the lily. And so there, what we have there is Jesus Christ in his own sinless humanity. I am the lily of the valley. I came down into this valley of sin. I perfectly obeyed the law in your behalf, as the gospel said. I kept the law. I suffered under that law. Upon the cross, I paid and washed away the guilt of your sin. By my death, I also obtained the power to deliver you from the power of that sin. I am the lily. Now you are as the lily. The whiteness is the imputing to us of the spotless innocence and obedience of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's what we celebrate at the table. God has imputed to us the work of Christ so that our forgiveness is in him. But now note, he says he's the rose of Sharon, and he does not call us in any way as the rose of Sharon. The rose is often called the king of flowers. It's a picture of royalty. Dignitaries of state come with roses to place. The parade of roses, they are a symbol of royalty. A kingdom does not have a royal lily garden, a royal marigold garden, but a royal rose garden. We have in our capital and in our White House, a rose garden. It's a sign of royalty. It's a sign of dignity. We can say that this rose is red. And the reference here is to Jesus Christ. I am the rose of Sharon. Sharon, Mount Carmel, that beautiful place upon which Elijah declared Jehovah, he is God. From the heights of all that God is, he sent his own son down into the valley of our thorns. We remember again that a rose has the thorns. He placed the thorns of our curse upon his own son in human flesh. And he died in our place to bear our curse and our death. I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valley. I am the eternal Son of God in all of his beauty and strength, clothed in your curse to make you white before God. That's what we partake of at the table, that God sees us this way. But then surely, beloved, if we understand these things in our hearts, we come to this table to receive from him that my sins have been blotted out, and through his own Son, I now stand in fellowship with God. Then surely, beloved, we will leave bearing a fragrance. We will leave in all good works to the praise and to the glory of his grace. There's one more thing about a lily. A lily is very distinctive for its smell. You place a blooming lily in your parlor, in your living room. You come back after 2 hours, you know the presence of the lily before you see it because you smell its scent, its fragrance. It has that characteristic. The child of God now is not a skunk weed, is not with the whole world to emit the smells, the noxious smells, repulsive odors. But the child of God, renewed in Jesus Christ, made alive, and at the table of the Lord this morning, made clean in the blood of the Lamb, his child and forever I am, we will leave a scent. We will leave a scent among the thorns. We will leave the scent of obedience to God, of prayers, of thanksgiving, of trust. Others will know. Others will sense. Others will see and smell that the grace of God has touched us. There will not be a perfection in our life. They will see a repentance, a humility, a striving within, that in everything we do, we want to be to the praise of his grace. We want to leave a holy odor in the nostrils of God of trust and love and humility and obedience, for we were created by divine grace for this, that we should abound in such good works to the glory of God. Let us come to the table. Let us receive the bread and the wine and the testimony of Christ when we receive them, our sins forgiven. Let us arise with the aroma of thanks and praise and love to him in all that we do. Amen. Father in heaven, take the word of the gospel found on every page of the Bible. Take the word of the gospel spoken in this poetic song of songs to bring our faith in all humility and contrition before that marvelous word, though our sins be as scarlet, we are now as white as the lily. That the rose of Sharon from the heights of heaven was impressed with our curse and thorn, and now we are pure and attractive and forgiven, so that our lives may reflect, that our lives may give off an odor of a sweet smell, of a pleasing sacrifice unto thee. In Jesus' name, amen.